Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 5, Chapter 6, Text Number 4. Nityam dadati kamasya. Chidram tam anuye rayaha. Yogina krita maitrasya. Patyurjayeva pungshali. Nityam, always. Dadati, gives. Kamasya, of lust. Chidram, facility. Tam, that lust. Anu, following. Ye, those. Arayaha, enemies. Yoginaha, of the yogis. Or persons trying to advance in spiritual life. Kritamaitrasya, having put faith in the mind. Patyuhu, of the husband. Jaya iva, like the wife. Pungshali, who is unchaste or easily carried away by other men. Translation, an unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours, and it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, and greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word pungshali refers to a woman who is easily carried away by men. Such a woman is never to be trusted. Unfortunately, in the present age, women are never controlled. According to the directions of the Shastras, women are never to be given freedom. When a child, a woman must be strictly controlled by her father. When she is young, she must be strictly controlled by her husband. And when she is old, she must be controlled by her elderly sons. If she is given independence and allowed to mingle unrestrictedly with men, she will be spoiled. A spoiled woman being manipulated by paramours might even kill her husband. The example is given here because a yogi desiring to get free from material conditions must always keep his mind under control. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that in the morning our first business should beat the mind with shoes 100 times. And before going to bed, to beat the mind 100 times with a broomstick. In this way, one's mind can be kept under control. An uncontrolled mind and an unchaste wife are the same. An unchaste wife can kill her husband at any time, and an uncontrolled mind, followed by lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion, can certainly kill the yogi. When the yogi is controlled by the mind, he falls down into the material condition. One should be very careful of the mind. just like a husband should be very careful of an unchaste wife. Nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuye rayaha yogina krita maitrasya patyur jayeva pungshchali. An unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours, and it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, the mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, and greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. So the whole section, this chapter, and particularly the beginning parts of the chapter, because later Rishabhdev is going to demonstrate to the group, to the yogi group, like the real yogi group, not the modern ones, detachment from the body and giving up his body like that in a fire, as we heard in the introduction section of the chapter. But this is by behavior and now through instruction. So, and prachar, the significance of not giving the mind license to go here and there. The carryover from the previous chapter was Rishabhdev as an expansion of Krishna had love for Krishna, ecstatic love for Krishna. And in that ecstatic love Rishabhdev was exhibiting, he was awarded or he was benedicted with full mystic powers, which he didn't pay any attention to because his interest was ecstatic love for Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit asked, why? He's fixed in devotion for Krishna. So contact with something like, you know, mystic powers or objects of this world or opulences or anything like that, he's beyond being disturbed by those things because he's fixed in Krishna. So why did he not accept them and so forth? So now we're hearing why. He didn't need to avoid those things. He was teaching others who are attracted to those things. And it's something like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Just go through that one quickly. Arjuna was wanting to give up his prescribed duty, karma sannyas. And I'm just paraphrasing here, but Krishna said, you don't have the adhikar. You can't just give up prescribed duties. Then Arjuna might think, well, then I'll become perfect and then I can do karma sannyas. And Krishna said, no, when you're perfect, you won't do karma sannyas because you'll teach by example how to perform prescribed duties. Because yajaracharati sheshtas, even great kings, Janaka and others, they set by example. They were perfect, but they set by example, perform prescribed duties. Krishna also performed prescribed duties very nicely. Because, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and perfected souls, which to speak of the personality of Godhead, perfected souls, perform prescribed duties. So he's teaching those that are not incarnations of God, when you're practicing yoga, how important it is to not be in pursuit of material facility, nor if it comes, to utilize it for sense gratification or distraction from the principle of bhakti. This sense gratification, subtle or gross. So in the yoga practice, not, you know, just the mechanical kind, but our kind also, the mind is very important. Certainly Prabhupada teaches this in his writings, and our experience also tells us where the mind goes is very important. You know, just take a simple example. Someone is performing arti, and their mind is in the gutter. Not good. So, and any other example you might want to think of. So, the function of the mind is very important to monitor. And there are various ways that that is being described. And here is one of them. A comparison is made. The comparison is made to a pungshchali. Pungshchali is a woman who is very easily carried away by a man, or specifically in this case, a married woman who is carried away by another man other than her husband. And that's very dangerous. So one doesn't give that facility. A husband saying, sure, you want to go spend time with some other man? Fantastic. Just send me a text message. Tell me how it's going. No good. Whoa. No good. Confirmed. So similarly, a yogi, the Sanskrit here is krita maitrasya, means putting faith in the mind. This advice to the yogi, don't put faith in the mind. And by the way, Prabhupada has liberally translated yogi as those who are yogis, or those who are persons trying to advance in spiritual life. So that includes us trying to advance in spiritual life. Don't put trust in the mind. Because by so doing, the verse says, nityam, always, like, you know, not sometimes, not the mind may give facility to enemies. Nityam. Always. Dadati. It gives trouble of enemies. Or chidram. This first word in the second line. Chidram. Gives facility to enemies such as lust. Kamasya. Etc. So calm, crowed, lope, you take your pick, what's your favorite one, and the mind will give facility to that just by slackness of the mind. You know, say complacency. That's a common experience. You're doing your Krishna consciousness nicely. You start off like, what's going on, and you gradually practice Krishna consciousness, and you're benefiting from Krishna consciousness. So the things that were initially there, Chatravidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukratan Arjuna, the four types of pious people who take up devotional service, and each one of those four things, it gets better. You know, the distress gets relieved, the economic difficulty gets relieved, curiosity is satisfied, knowledge is acquired. So now, what's my impetus? I'm comfortable. Complacency. That's what's being spoken of. When that complacency situation arises, then the mind is then nityam, always going to give facility to enemies, the translation here, like lust, etc. Greed, anger. So, if you're helping another devotee or you're trying to help yourself, when anger or lust or greed or jealousy or something, some struggle in any one of those areas or all of those areas, you know, the spiritual solution to the material problem is chant your japa nicely. That's over simple, Maharaj. It's like, you know, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Chant your japa nicely. Fix the mind upon the holy name. And then you'll see when you try to do that how flickering the mind is. So what do? Fix the mind on the holy name. Bring the mind to the holy name. And it goes here and bring the mind to the holy name. And practice and practice and practice. Because later in the day, when you're dealing with duality, the different thing, configurations of duality that are coming your direction, it's going to trigger whatever that space that the mind allows it to go into. Enemies, like, you know, saying yes to an enemy. Invite an enemy into your room. Not good. Not good at all. And the enemy won't have the facility to come into the room if the mind is properly directed. So the word that's used is controlled, and Prabhupada is speaking what, you know, in Western culture could make somebody really uncomfortable. Not only women, but men would sometimes, you know, control the little girl, control your wife, and control your mother. Because you can't trust her. Culturally, that's not, you know, very nice. But specifically, here's what the control is. Unrestrictedly mingling with men. That's the control. That you like the leash. That's not okay. Stay. It's like Ram Rekha, because we're going to be honoring Lord Ramachandra's appearance tomorrow. We mentioned this. Ram with his bow. Of course, this is. Does anybody know for sure? Is this not a Valmiki Ramayan and the other one, Ramayan, with the bow and the row, the circle, Ram Rekha? Does anybody know? Vaikunthapati, do you know? Ram Rekha? Is that in Valmiki Ramayan or the other one? You don't know. Krunanidhi, do you know? I'm asking an academic question. There are different versions of Ramayan. Tulsi Ramayan, my understanding is, it's Tulsi Ramayan that Ram draws the circle with his bow, and it's not in Valmiki Ramayan. Do you know if that's accurate, or you don't know? Huh? Is that in Valmiki Ramayan, or is it in Tulsi Ramayan? That's my question. Valmiki Ramayan. Can you research that during the day and let me know? I've had that question for a long time. So whichever Ramayana it's from, he draws a line. Lakshman draws the line with the bow, or Ram draws the line with the bow? Lakshman.
Lakshman.
But I thought before he went to take care of the deer with Ram with his bow, makes a circle and says, Sita, don't go outside of this. Lakshman makes the line. Ah. Maybe I've read another version. A third one. Dr. So-and-so's version. Anyway, thank you. With the end of his bow, a circle is drawn with the advice to Sita, don't step outside. And it's a nice principle. Stay within, so my dear daughter or my dear wife or my dear mother, stay within this, or Sita, or any, you know, stay within this parameter. Us, stay within this parameter. You have freedom. But don't step over there, because if you step beyond that line, then you could have a problem, like the problem mentioned here. You know, the problem isn't just, well, let's say, there will always be, like Krishna's arguing with, Arjuna's arguing with Krishna, if the men on the opposing army are killed, then their daughters, their wives, and their mothers will not be protected, and there's always a class of men who will exploit, so the problem is on the men's side, the men will exploit the unprotected woman, and unwanted progeny will produce and bring the ruination of society. So, it's the exploitative nature of men, not just the lustful, you know, bad nature of the woman. It's the exploitative nature of men. So, that's always going to be there, and therefore, women should be properly protected. Here, controlled, but more specifically, not permitted to unrestrictedly mix with men. And then comes this, well, you know, well, what about just saying Hari Bol Prabhu or something like that? You know, that gets into this, you know, it's, without citing specific examples, I can tell you when he said Hari Bol Prabhu to her, she thought it meant something other than Hari Bol Prabhu. And, you know, something started in her mind and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we don't want to be impersonal, and we don't want to be in this zone where it's the mind is unrestricted and Hari Bol Prabhu becomes something else. So, at least, you know, the mind has to be controlled. That's very important. Super, super important. The examples just in yesterday's verse, not just like, you know, it's not an instruction for immature new devotees. And when you become, you know, no longer an immature devotee, you can freely mingle. Or, you know, sannyasis are not supposed to, but grihasthas, it's okay because you're grihastha, so you can freely mingle. Well, Lord Shiva was grihastha, and Sobri Muni was grihastha, and they're the previous verses that, in the previous verse they're spoken of. And they had a problem. So it's not just ashram specific, it's principle. The free, unrestricted intermingling. So what's the appropriate intermingling? So one thing is like the external, and then like Prabhupada spoke, the external, at least for the brahmachari, his language is, please pass the salt. You know, you're in the kitchen. Please pass the salt. And that's it. You know, like, you know, whatever. And if there's, if it's like, you know, a brahmachari is trained to see other women as mother. So you may say to your mother something more than, you know, please pass the salt. You know, some words of respect that, and appreciation, and some, you know, warmth that goes to mother, provided one is seeing mother and not seeing something else. It's a very important principle. Being the frame of the discussion is elevated yogis or persons trying to advance in spiritual life. Rishabhdev is instructing, beware of the mind. That's the teaching. There's abuses of this teaching, both, you know, interpersonal and personal. The interpersonal is equating what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about how to deal with the mind, and then literally taking the same in dealing with one's daughter or one's wife or one's mother. Get the broomstick, get the shoes, and beat my wife, and beat my daughter, because I want my daughter to be not of the bad kind. I don't want her to be a punkshtali kind. So just regularly. So that's awful. It's unlawful. It's not Vedic. It's not what the teaching says. It's specific to being strict in terms of unrestricted association. That's to be done. Not with a stick or a shoe. With, you know, the training that one imparts. Why is it called Ramrekha if Lakshman did it? Good question, huh? Huh? Lakshman Rekha, not Ramrekha. Oh, you've got a different version of Ram Ryan than I have. So it's Ramrekha. Anyway, we'll research Ramrekha, Lakshman Rekha. So within that boundary, so like within the home, there's freedom. There are things that a woman will do in the home that she won't do outside the home. And it's not just Vedic culture, it's other cultures too, where there's an understanding of the exploitative nature of a certain class of men that will, they see somebody that's loose and they'll lure them into bad conduct. So knowing that that's there, or how the mind can be agitated, different cultures, you know, of the, what women do in Islam religion, their, you know, how they cover their hair or cover their face or cover themselves, because the mind of the man can be agitated, and so that the woman doesn't become the object of agitating the man. It's for protecting the women. It's also for protecting the men, or protecting those who have uncontrolled minds. So a practicing yogi, and that's the lesson is, I'll read it. This example is given here because a yogi desiring to get free from material conditions must always keep his mind under control. And then the converse, an uncontrolled mind, followed by lust, anger, greed, madness, and envy and illusion, can certainly kill the yogi. So that should be an easy choice. Control the mind or get killed. I think I'll take the first one. And then it's like always, not when you're in danger zone, then you control the mind. But always don't become complacent in your Krishna consciousness. I remember very clearly hearing Srila Prabhupada speak the following words. It's not that one needs to invite Maya. Rather, as soon as one desists or becomes complacent in devotion to Krishna, immediately Maya is there. He gave the example just like turning your attention from the light. As soon as your back is to the light, what's there is darkness. That's Maya. Maya is the absence of Krishna. There's no such thing as the absence of Krishna, but one thinks absence of Krishna. And in that darkness, it's instant. He elaborated and said, it's not that one has to call Maya. Okay, Maya, now you can come. Immediately she's there. You have to, like, wish for some association with Maya. Immediately she's there. Just by this complacency factor, the mind straying from Krishna. So we know what that zone is. It's like always the mind in our practice is to bring the mind to Krishna. So the most effective means, most powerful for this age of Kali means for bringing the mind to Krishna is chanting the holy name. And chant the holy name constantly, or at least regularly. And when chanting the holy name regularly, bring the mind to Krishna. Practice. Bring your faculty of attention, attentiveness to Krishna. Because otherwise, the attentiveness will go somewhere else. And that's exactly what this verse is saying. Immediately. It's inviting. Yeah. Chidram, it gives facility to. Come on in. A little lust, a little greed, a little anger, a little illusion, a little madness. But it's never a little, it grows very quickly. So, that's the example that's being set by Rishabdev, specific to mystic powers, but in relation to the yogi who may be coveting mystic powers. But it applies to all types of, well, bhakti-mukti or siddhi. Objects of sense gratification, aspiration for liberation, some kind of power to do something extraordinary. Don't let your mind deviate from the mood of simply striving to please and serve Krishna nicely. Or the mind will play havoc. Krita mai trasya. Investing trust and faith in my mind. So any discussion? Yes? We have a system here of a portable microphone, and he's bringing it over to you.
What happens if the women have to be engaged in preaching activities, so like to the guests or other people, so how does it, like the women have to be controlled and not mingle, so if somebody is engaged...
Let me say back what I think you're asking. In preaching, we are obliged to some degree, you know, lesser degree, greater degree, somewhere in between, we're obliged to associate with non-devotees and unwholesome people and people that do things that we would never consider doing. And does that fall in the category of unrestricted association? That we shouldn't do because it's problematic. Is that your question? One of my godbrothers named Radha Ballabha Prabhu, for years we associated together at in the Brooklyn Temple. He was with the, then it was ISKCON Press, later became the BBT, and he became the production manager of the BBT. He was the one that had the weight of the responsibility to produce the 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months or whatever it was, Radha Ballabha. And I remember a discussion with him on this point where our devotees, we had a policy, it was very nice, except for the pujari, everybody in the temple went on book distribution on Saturdays. Every Saturday, everybody in the temple went out and distributed books. The press, you know, not just the temple brahmacharis. The temple emptied out. And it was pretty nice because we had 100 devotees in the temple. And then because the 100 devotees were going out, then congregation people wanted to get in on the action. And anyway, it was pretty nice. And some people weren't so good at book distribution, so they were with the Harinam party, and some persons would distribute books on the Harinam party. But mostly it was a very small percentage. Mostly it was everyone went on book distribution. And Radha Ballabha really liked book distribution. And one of the programs that a certain group that like kind of got together with him is they did the late night program where after all day long doing something, they went to drive-in movies and sold books car to car and drive-in movies in New York City. I'll leave it to your imagination what that experience was like. He said, I'm surprised that we don't get guns pulled on us and other things. Because, anyway, when people go to drive-in movies, it's not so much about the movie, it's what goes on inside the car during a drive-in movie. And, you know, they knew that, and they would, you know, knock on the window, and and then, you know, he came back, I remember, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and I stayed up until everybody got back and made sure they had hot milk and prasadam and, you know, just some kind words and so forth to receive everybody. And we were sitting there sipping hot milk, and he said, you know, when you're engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service, in that missionary spirit, you're protected. You're protected. And then tomorrow morning at Mangal Arati, you know, the men on this side and the women on that side, and it's not the same. You know, you don't, your eyes don't go to the other side. Your eyes go to the altar because it's not, what's that? It's not in service to Lord Chaitanya. So when in service to Lord Chaitanya, there's protection. You're giving association. You're not thinking, oh, this looks like fun. And another example is Prabhupada speaking to Jagadatri, a Mahat Prabhupada disciple who distributed books along with the men in the airport party. She was really good. Raghunath's mother, Jagadatri. Anyway, Raghunath is like one of a famous Guru Kuli. So she asked Prabhupada, you speak about, you know, again and again, a woman should be chaste, and to go on Sankirtan, you have to, you know, go and approach men, and sometimes men have a different idea than, yeah, I'd like to buy your book. So it's challenging for the woman. And, you know, is this outside of, should I not do that? Is it outside of the chastity of a woman? And Prabhupada said, in service to Lord Chaitanya, one may do these things. And then in the temple, your demeanor should be altogether different in the temple. I think, I can't remember for sure, but, you know, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase, kind of example. For service to Lord Chaitanya, it's perfectly appropriate in service to Lord Chaitanya, if the mind is absorbed in service to Lord Chaitanya, not like, oh, this is pretty cool, now I have a license to associate with men. I like Sankirtan. Not with that mentality, but with the mentality of serving Lord Chaitanya. Then that's protection. And Prabhupada specifically authorized like that. Or, you know, men that, say, brahmacharis going into a home program, or a sannyasi going to visit somebody in their home, as the duty of a sannyasi is. Prabhupada's statement was, one should not enter into the home situation and think, wow, they have so many comforts, maybe I'm missing out on something. That should not be the that's not the meditation of a sannyasi. So, in preaching, there's risk. But the risk has its much stronger counterbalance of protection through Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That was Radha Balaba's point. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. We can go into these situations and there's not a trace of a thought of something. I mean, I remember as a very new devotee, think was one of the first things that we did on book distribution. During the day, we went on Harinam, Boston Common, and then that very night, we went to a rock concert. You know, for a young Western person, rock concerts was sense gratification. And they were practically the first thing, go to a rock concert. And what do you do at a rock concert? Sense gratification. But it wasn't. It was presenting transcendental literature. And I remember feeling, wow, wasn't even the thought of sense gratification. It's just, it was protection. I felt, consciously felt, we were being protected. You know, there's the immediate, the Harinam itself at the rock concert, but I liked distributing books, so I was distributing books, and the Harinam was over here. And it was nice. The realization was a nice realization. You engage in Lord Chaitanya's mission, you're protected by Lord Chaitanya. Not only protected, you make advancement, purification of consciousness and so on. But don't let the mind, this is the complacency thing, or let the mind wander. Don't do like that. Because you're inviting, the mind will then give facility to the wrong, you know, the enemies of the person who's trying to make spiritual progress. So we don't stay away from preaching because there's risk. We are vigilant, knowing that there's risk, feeling, taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya's kindness and compassion. Very important. Very important. Our life in service to Lord Chaitanya has, that's something we must understand and stay very, very, very carefully protected. That's like, you know, Lakshman Rekha or Ram Rekha. Inside and not cross the line. Something else? Yes.
Marge, so the mind will maybe try to invite these enemies, or so our job is.
The enemies come in, uninvited.
So one piece of instruction I got was neglect the mind. So if there's some
neglect the mind is Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching. There's two options: the stick or neglect. Neglect is you don't place merit in the dictates of the mind. That's neglect the mind. The mind says, maybe there's some enjoyment over there. And you don't pay attention to that voice.
My question was that it keeps coming, you neglect, and so it's just a continuous process of keep, because it just happens over and over, same thoughts.
That's the blades of the fan example. The residual turning of the blades of the fan. Because of prior involvement in the material energy, the mind has a tendency to go there. So, trust is a fact. As long as you don't go reinvest consciousness in contemplating the objects of the senses, the residual movement of the blades of fan will stop. Trust that if you do contemplate, zoom, 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 the blades of the fan will continue. So there's this thing that sometimes devotees call impure reminiscence. You've heard that phrase before? You've had the experience before? You're going along, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then here comes this thought of something from, you know, back there. Like, where'd that come from? And it came from some contact in the past. And so it's either an abstract or it may be explicit. It may be like graphic of something, some impure something that's back there. Now, what do you do? One is you get the stick or the other is you neglect. You give, if there's neglect, what that means is, it's like the verse from Bhagavad Gita, tungsta tikshva svabharata matra sparshas tukonteya, that verse. If you tolerate duality, that means you don't invest energy, consciousness in, oh, look at that duality. Oh, look at that one. I like this one. I don't like... Don't, you just tolerate. That's no neglect. But you have to invest consciousness somewhere instead of there. It's unspoken or implicit, but you must put it somewhere. So put it... So if the thought keeps coming back, just keep putting your consciousness in Krishna. Don't contemplate. Yeah, I remember that situation. You know, then you spit on it and things like that. But, you know, just invest in Krishna, thought. This form, that form, you know, the other form. It's like the Ajamila story. He saw this prostitute and Sudra going at it. And he continued to contemplate. He tried doing his nice brahminical thing, went back and chanted his mantras and did his pujas and, you know, restrained his senses. But his mind continued to contemplate. And boom, 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 boom. So that's the neglect. Don't let your mind continue to contemplate. Withdraw the mind from there and place it in Krishna, in purity. And the mind goes back and you just repeat. Bring the mind to Krishna. And you gradually the residual movement of the blades of the fan will stop. Trust it. Himanshu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You're explaining that by chanting attentively, and that is our foremost weapon.
Yes.
And my question is, Brahmacharya life in the temple, it's great.
Great.
You know, but sometimes you don't get sufficient rest, the random services pop up, and we're not supposed to have the attitude of saying no to things. So generally we don't, you know, say no to services if they come up. So what happens, my personal experience, my chanting gets a little neglected, and I think to myself, anyways, I was doing service all day, what's the big deal? I didn't chant nice rounds. And then it happens one day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and I don't take it too seriously because I think to myself, anyways, you know, the service was coming, and I did my service, and so I couldn't chant nicely, and what's the big deal? I was doing services all day. I'm wondering if that's the right attitude.
No.
Okay, so what?
Chant nicely. That's the attitude. And do nice service. Both. The problem with not chanting nicely is not the culprit of devotional service. That's not the culprit. It's our flabby mind. The paucity of mind liking to go here and there. So it has nothing to do with, you know, if you do your service, in fact, nicely, it will give strength to chanting nicely. Should I say it again? You got it. So do them both nicely. I remember heard a recording of a lecture from Prabhupada, was in Los Angeles speaking on Chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, in relation to, controlling the mind, 6th chapter, Dhyan Yoga. And right in the middle of the class, someone interrupted Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, it's really difficult. I have so much service from morning till night. It's really hard to chant my rounds. Swamiji, what should I do? Prabhupada said, do both. He didn't say, what the person was expecting Prabhupada to say, do less service and make sure you chant nicely. He didn't say that. I don't know the person. It sounded like a person that's kind of coming off drugs kind of a voice. That kind of a voice. Slur kind of voice. But in any case, that's what Prabhupada said. So I'm just repeating. Do both. Don't so excessive that you can't be concentrated when chanting. Be concentrated when chanting. And when doing your service, do your service nicely and put the package together. One will help the other. Not, some other idea. And it's a challenge. Okay, life is nice when you have challenges. Meet the challenges with Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We often hear about, you gave the example of the Muslim lady covering herself.
Yes.
Just as an example, we often hear about the activities of women and what they should do so they don't cause agitation to the mind of the man who have a nature of exploiting and so on, you were describing.
Yeah.
But we often don't hear the other side.
Which is?
With sometimes the activities of what man may do, which causes agitation to the side of women. And we've heard the criticism, or sometimes when talking to women about this issue, they find it a little bit like there's an imbalance.
Yeah.
That we hear always about how the women are agitating the minds of the men. But what are the activities of the men, what they're doing purposely also sometimes to maybe agitate or attract the minds of women? So how might we meet this type of doubt about an imbalance in the discussion?
Well, there's a lot of different ways, but I'll keep it simple. Trying to recall the context of Prabhupada making the following comment. But I can't. But something like, He did a pause on the topic of men agitating women, women agitating men, and saying what the way that we should process those descriptions is, the enjoyer, the Purusha, and the Prakriti. So as long as one is thinking oneself as the enjoyer or Purusha, then it's the female is Prakriti. But, it can work the other way around, where a woman who's thinking, I'm the enjoyer, that's the Purusha, and the object is the man, Prakriti. So it's the psychology of thinking oneself the enjoyer brings problems. And so the object is the Prakriti to be enjoyed by the Purusha. So in other words, we can just, go back to the example of women should not agitate the mind of a man. The flip side is also true. It's as much as it is the responsibility of women to not agitate the minds of men, it's the responsibility of men to not agitate the minds of women. And, there are social behaviors that are appropriate for women that are not the same as for men. We're not enjoined to cover our head. Although you sometimes do. But it's not, you know, the injunctions are different, but the principles are, one should not act in such a way. Brahmacharis should not intentionally, certainly, and even, you know, unintentionally act in such a way to agitate the minds of women. There is a social role that should be observed of, you know, different things like, you know, like leading the kirtan, for example, or things like that. There are things that men do, but we also now make arrangements that women can also sit together and they can play the musical instruments and lead kirtan. But that, you know, it's in a social context that's with separation and with respect, not in your face. You know. So anyway, you had something? Yeah.
Maharaj, while we are distributing the books,
we
often missed out the point that we are distributing a transcendental literature.
You're doing what?
We are distributing a transcendental literature.
They're distributing transcendental literature.
And we often try to forget this thing. And
you often try to forget it?
We often forget this thing.
Okay.
Try means when we are approaching different people, we are very fast and we forget everything that, okay, we are doing some service.
That's our complacency.
And how does it affect the chanting? How does it affect our service attitude in temple?
Well, what do you think? It makes it, waters it down.
It's worst. It makes it down. So
it waters it down, sure. So in other words, The principle of respect towards that which is in relation to Krishna is important. And it's important that we observe that in, you know, the 360 degrees of our service. If we're lax in this area, it's going to impact that area. So we should be vigilant in all areas. Respectful to Krishna. Kind of obvious, isn't it? So I'm not exactly sure what your question is. Being careful. Being vigilant. Don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. Complacency invites Maya. Okay. Anything on the lady's side? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.